We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
My son brought this to me yesterday, and I was actually surprised he's not on board. Up there on his list would be Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And Cheez-Its.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what kid doesn't love Cheez-Its?
Or adult. And if anybody says the cheese nip is better, I question you. And I question a lot about you because the cheese nip is not better than the cheese it.
Mm. I don't like either one.
You don't?
And I like
really?
Cheese and I like crackers. I don't like that one.
I don't know the cheese it.
I
like the burnt cheese.
Don't know why I've never liked the Cheez-Its.
The hot and spicy Cheez-Its.
See,
phenomenal.
Just give me the plain Cheez-Its, man. That's all. I could eat a box a day if I had to. And I did when I was in my first job in radio. That's all I could live on. How could you not like Cheez-Its? That's interesting.
Just never been a thing
for
me.
I'm never going to criticize. You don't like it? That's fine. I don't goat cheese. Everybody seemingly loves to rub that all over themselves.
Taco Bell's coming out with the big Cheez-It Tostada.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
It just looks like some glued together Cheez-Its with
it's the size
taco
of
meat
16
on,
Cheez-Its, bro.
Taco meat on top.
16 Cheez-Its.
Right, it's a big cracker.
Yeah.
Big cracker with taco meat on top. All awesome.
How are you and not in the, on that?
And then the big Cheez-It Crunchwrap Supreme, which they basically just stuffed a bunch of Cheez-Its in the middle of a Crunchwrap.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm in on.
That's the one you're in on?
Yes.
I would be in on both of them, but it's only in Irvine, California right now. And I'm
testing
going
it out,
Irvine.
So hopefully Irvine loves it, and then everybody can have it.
Oh, it really is. You can see the lines of the Cheez-Its on the big Cheez-It. I didn't notice that the first time through. Yeah.
It looks like probably the you imagine Cheez-Its go through some kind of assembly line, right?
Uh-huh.
And on the line, it probably comes out as a big sheet, and then they cut the little squares.
Yeah.
This is just looks like an uncut.
Like, remember the uncut baseball card sheets you could get back in the day?
Yeah. That's looks like that's what that is.
An uncut Cheez-It sheet.
And then a similar type square that goes inside the Crunchwrap.
Yeah, I do. I mean, that looks delicious to me. Look at all the corn in the bottom of that Crunchwrap, too. You got the beef, you got the corn, you got the Cheez-It, you got the lettuce, the tomato, even the sour cream wrapped in that thing all pressed together. Give me that right now. That is a great combination. Arguably the best combination you could have at a fast food restaurant, for my taste anyway, right now. I'm looking at that. I'm going, that is a home run. When is it going to be available here? That's worth waiting in the Taco Bell drive-thru line for at 3 a.m. Let's go.
Yeah.
Give me the Cheez-It Tostada.
So, no pressure, Irvine, California, but it's up to you
let's
bring it to the rest
done.
Of America.
Yeah.
I would play my Taco Bell sounder right here.
But it's gone.
It's gone.
You don't have it? I'm sure you can find that one.
I got wolfed away.
That's probably. You can probably find that one again, I'm guessing, at some point in time.
Can I?
Yeah, I think the Taco Bell, it's out there, yeah.
Yeah, I think you could, yeah. That right. Ding, yeah.
Yeah, I think you could probably find the ding.
From the text line, Cheez-It or Cheese Nip, fine. I don't want it on my Taco Bell. Okay, you can say that right now, but I'm in this thing right now where, like, I'm a little ticked off about people who are reacting to John Sherman who didn't listen to the John Sherman interview, right? They, I don't want to hear what he's listened to the interview before you react. It's a simple process. If you don't want it on your Taco Bell, I understand that, but at least give it a try. At least go through the drive-thru and try it. Maybe you try it and you actually like it. We just live in a society where we don't want to try things, listen to things. We just want to react. Go to Taco Bell and try it. I encourage this person from the 816 to go to Irvine, get in the Taco Bell line, try it. And then if you don't like it, that's fine. But I think it's hard to say, I won't like it. If you like the combination of, there's a mattress driving down the street right now. If you like the combination of Cheez-Its.
It's driving itself. It has wheels.
It is. Oh, yeah. A big mattress. If you like Cheez-Its and you like Taco Bell, how could you not want to try them together? I think it would be a delicious combination. I'm willing to give it a whirl.
Okay. Well, get to Irvine, California. This feels like a winner. Like it's going to happen.
It's
going to
be good, right?
Oh yeah, it's going to happen everywhere.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be fine. It's going
to
be fine.
And then I tweeted to Doritos yesterday and to Skinny Pop. If we're talking about conversations, what about Dorito flavored Skinny Pop? Wouldn't you buy Dorito flavored popcorn? You could have the Cool Ranch. You could have the regular nacho cheese. You could have the
are they the same company?
No.
Oh.
But that's okay. Cheez-Its and Burger or Taco Bell aren't the same company.
No, but I'm saying, you know, the chip, if they were in the same chip house, you feel like it'd be an easy convert.
Easy one to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but wouldn't that be good? Like, just dust a lot of different things with, you know, Dorito dust or something like that. I think that would be fantastic. I think it would be wonderful. So they didn't, neither Doritos nor Skinny Pop responded to my query yesterday.
I mean, they're dusting them with taco shells. Why not popcorn?
Right.
Let's
why not
go.
Popcorn, right? Think about that. Cool Let's Ranch go. Flavored popcorn? Okay. Do they sell that Jumpin' Jack Flash Dorito or whatever it was? What was the black bag called of Doritos? It was like the third flavor that came out back in the day. You had the nacho cheese, then the Cool Ranch, and then they had, and it was in the black bag.
I think it was the Max, but that's not right.
No, that's not it.
That was the ones that made you poop.
That was the Olean and the Olestra.
Yeah, the Olean and the Max. Yeah.
What was that one called? I wish there was a way to figure that out.
It's called the text line, I think. 913-586-7610. You're going to hate this mock draft. There's a mock draft out for this upcoming season.
There's a couple of things I hate about it.
Courtesy of ESPN.
Actually, there's only really one thing I hate about it.
Yeah, the one thing I totally hate about this, because I immediately scanned to the bottom.
That's right. And we're not there.
Make sure they're picking 32nd. They're not. So this one, they have the Bills picking 32nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bills apparently beat the Packers in the Super Bowl, according to this one. And then I'm scanning, and then I see 30. I see 29. Neither of which are the Chiefs.
Right.
Which means they would be out before the AFC Championship game, even.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Chargers picking 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to scan. I see the Lions, and I see the Indianapolis Colts at 27, which means they advanced further.
But the Lions got the pick from the Rams at 28.
Right.
So yes, that's the Rams pick.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The Lions, that one's a trade. They have the Colts, which would mean
that's their own pick.
The Colts, finish first. They're the Chiefs.
Right.
The Bucks at 26. The Seattle Seahawks via Denver at 25.
So that's Denver's pick. They're saying that Denver's going to go further than the Chiefs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right?
So they've got like every team other than the Raiders going further than the Chiefs.
And then
this
they
year.
Have the Chiefs at number 24. Picking at 24th. That would not be good. I hate that. First and foremost, I hate that. I like the position they took. I don't know anything about Habakkuk Baldonado, but I like it.
If you nailed that name. Good for you.
If you
talked to Bingley?
Pittsburgh defensive end. I don't even know if that's correct. Looks like I'm just saying it how it's spelled.
Yeah.
But if your defensive ends were George Karlaftis and Habakkuk Baldonado, so good things are happening.
Yeah,
in the future.
I like that.
Like that. So they had the Chiefs taking the Pitt defensive end, but at 24th.
Yeah, I don't like where they're picking.
That's a lot of AFC teams in front of you.
Yeah, I do not like where they're picking right
early
now.
Early playoff knockout.
And that's a good motivational tool for the Kansas City Chiefs as Mahomes is continuing with Pat Camp down in Texas and Andy Reid is continuing in Italy. They've got the opportunity to look at this right now and say, nobody is valuing us. They're now picking the Broncos and the Chargers. That would mean that the Chiefs finished third in the division this year. Number 24 pick, that still gets you into the playoffs barely. So people are considering right now, whoever came up with this mock draft on ESPN, they're considering the Chiefs a fringe playoff team right now going into the season. When the Chiefs are picking 32 next year, we'll be sure to bring this draft back out and let them know they were wrong because the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
As long as we get Habakkuk Baldonado, I don't really care.
Yeah,
I'm focusing in on Habakkuk Baldonado.
Correct.
And I'm gonna watch a lot of YouTube on this cat.
You're gonna look at this guy.
Yeah,
right?
I like
if,
it.
If you find videos, let me know.
I like that name.
I like the position. The position is whether it was DE or DT next to the name of the player. That's what the Chiefs have to go for. They still have major holes along that defensive line.
They also had a major run of quarterbacks in this draft in the first round too. By the way,
you know it's funny. I didn't even look to see who the first picks were. I just scrolled all the way down to the bottom immediately to find out what they thought about the Chiefs.
CJ Stroud at 5 to the Falcons.
Okay.
Bryce Young, 7 to Carolina.
Yeah.
Will Levis, Kentucky, at 8 to the Lions.
Okay. Heard of him.
Jaren Hall, BYU quarterback, at 9 to the Seahawks.
Right.
Tyler Van Dyke, Miami quarterback, to the Giants at 10.
Right.
That's a pretty good run.
That's a good run right there,
considering it took so long for quarterbacks this past year. Mm-hmm. So. And again, take as many quarterbacks as you like in the opening round of the draft.
Yeah,
Please feel free to do that.
Quarterback and offensive linemen in the draft, so the better players are there for the Chiefs.
Yeah, so an early run on quarterbacks in this mock draft as well.
They also have Cleveland picking 23, Josh. Do they really think the Browns are going to be that good to be picking in the 23rd spot? Now, the pick will go to the Houston Texans because of the Deshaun Watson trade, but now it makes me question how sane these people were when they came up with this list if you really think the Browns are going to be picking at 23.
Which would leave the Ravens. Well, we had the Ravens at 20, so...
List.
I don't like this.
I don't like it at all.
Okay,
Ravens
so remember,
20.
Habakkuk Baldonado.
They have the Bengals picking 15th.
Yeah. They're not.
The Titans picking 14th.
So neither one of those two teams make the playoffs.
Right. I'm not sure I buy this list. I don't think it's really good.
I don't like it. I like the position. I don't like the spot.
Yeah.
And I don't like the spot for a lot of teams, frankly.
Quite honestly, most of them.
Including Buffalo at 32.
Yeah. Screw you, Buffalo. Yeah, you're not getting a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, yeah. I want to pick in front of you and all, but not because you've earned the right to pick behind the Chiefs, please. Royals chairman and CEO John Sherman says the status quo is not good enough. His sit down with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, next.
Fesco in the Morning, where Kling has no time for your BS.
How many meetings do you have to go to as the athletic director at Nebraska before you land on the one that deals with helium quantities on campus?
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, I could climb a mountain with this. So, best sports hype songs today is our bump music. You just have to text them in 913-586-7610. Royals chairman and CEO John Sherman sitting down with our Royals insider Josh Vernier. They'll talk stadium. They'll talk disappointments of this season.
Mm-hmm.
How he doesn't like the status quo. And people approaching him in weird scenarios to ask about the television product.
Yes. Don't ask the owner about the TV product at funerals.
No, I just recommend that that's not a good thing. But their entire conversation, John Sherman, Josh Vernier.
To start, I'm half joking with this. Do you know that Kansas City's getting the World Cup before we all find out you're in an inner circle? You're a pretty important person in this city.
You know, I had a sense
Vern, and certainly we've been supportive and been involved in that. But, you know, in reality, I don't think anybody knew for sure until it came out. I think there were some smoke signals that kind of gave people indication that we were certainly more than on the bubble, maybe. But that was very exciting news for our city and in our community. And I think it's going to do a lot for everything. And I think it'll help our business as well long term.
What was your reaction? Where were you? How did the news hit you, and what washed over you when it happened?
Well, I was kind of expecting it, but you never know until it. But I just thought it was a big deal. I was out of town. I can't think where I was exactly, but it was big news. And you know, it's not. My kids all texted me from Chicago and California, and this is a big news for anybody that's ever been connected to Kansas City, that the whole world is going to come here for the kind of the greatest sports show on earth and be here for a while. It'll be a very exciting time for Kansas City, and I think the preparation for that will be really interesting. And I think as we think about juxtaposing what we're doing with the Chiefs and how we're thinking about our stadium, I think it could be very interesting as well.
Yeah, and that leads me right to it. You would think 2026, this is either going to be a packed parking lot or it could lead to the downtown ballpark. Might it advance those conversations a little bit more? Is that the hope?
Well, you know, it's a process, and we got very, very good people working on it. One thing that we're doing right now, which similar to what the Chiefs are doing, we're actually in the process of a sports architectural firm and an engineering firm are doing the same thing here that the Chiefs are doing across the parking lot relative to what would it cost to renovate the Kauffman Stadium, extend its life, and really modernize it for the current fan experience and the player development, clubhouses, and things like that. So that's kind of the first, that'll be a first data point that I think will be really important to us, know it's important to the Chiefs, and at some point we'll want to share the details of that with the public. And I think when we do that, that's going to be the first step in really showing the community, you know, kind of where we are and the seriousness of this, and certainly constantly, we're getting a lot of feedback on this project.
So 2026, it's a possibility. You guys are still here renovating improving Kauffman Stadium. That's a possibility.
You know, it's a possibility. I would tell you that I think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all options have to be on the table. My sense is that you know, renovating this stadium and really modernizing and extending its life is going to be very expensive versus the alternatives. I think about, we don't have all the details on that yet, but you think about what the Cubs did in at Wrigley, and that's probably been, what, 10, 12, 15 years ago now? They spent $600 million just renovating in place. Now, they gutted the lower bowl, they tore it out and rebuilt it and rebuilt club space and eating space and you know, club amenities and to modernize the best we could. Although the visiting clubhouse there, by the way, and maybe you guys have been in it, but that looks like a high school locker room. I was in it one time when I was with Cleveland. We beat them in the division series in 2016, and if I remember right, some of the towels were kind of hanging on nails on the wall. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I remember being there when it was during the All-Star announcements, and the team I was covering had four different players make the All-Star team. One of them was Prince Fielder, so just trying to get around him and move around
right,
in that
right.
clubhouse.
Actually,
was
it was
difficult.
Fenway. Did I say Wrigley? It was actually, I'm describing the Fenway Visitors Clubhouse, but as I understand it, Chicago.
Wrigley's is rough.
Yeah.
At least old Wrigley.
I've heard somebody say, the Red Sox guys that yours is better than theirs. And again, no disparagement toward the Cubs or the Red Sox on that. They have great venues, and those are great organizations, and sure, we certainly aspire to be like them.
Yeah. The Kansas City Star had a piece recently where they really zeroed in on two possible locations for a possible downtown ballpark. Does one reign supreme in your mind? Does one
of those two?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm not there certainly are more than that that are still in the hunt. I think that the East Village location is one that, you know, I think we've been looking at for a longer time. It's got some advantages, but But certainly there are still multiple sites that are under consideration.
Now, as we're talking with Chairman and CEO of your Kansas City Royals, John Sherman, here on 610 Sports Radio, your history with this team as a fan, long documented. You know these people in Kansas City, so when they hear the idea of a downtown ballpark, they look to the ball club, which has fallen short of expectations this season, and all they hear is a public-private split for a new stadium.
Yeah.
You understand the inflation and everything that's going on in this country right now.
Right.
What would be your message to this city, to this fan base, as they try to balance a team that is disappointed and an organization likely coming to them asking for a hand in building a downtown stadium?
You know, it's interesting. I would just tell you where my mind share is right now. You know, we have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We have a team that is evaluating all this, we hope, in the most rational way for the club, for the community, for the region. But I am personally more focused on the ball club and the on-field performance. That's what I'm thinking about every morning. The stadium, that's a longer-term deal. We got really good people working on it. But I personally am focused on trying to work with Dayton and JJ and the group on how we how we get better long term.
How would you evaluate this season? How are those conversations going? And when is your expectation for this team to produce the kind of record that we can all be proud of?
Well, you know, as far as this year goes, I would just say the results are disappointing. You know, and I think it's okay to be to not be where you want to be, but when you're rebuilding a team and an organization. The disappointing part about this year is that I think that we thought we were further along, and clearly we're not. And you know, we can think about the reasons for that. And I think we want to make sure any time, and it's not just baseball, Vern. I think in any business, when you're not performing well, you know, I think you should shine the bright lights on people, processes, systems, and what you need to get better, right? I think in sports, in particular, it has struck me that, the bright lights are shining all the time, right? Somebody told me a long time ago that, you know, it's the only industry with its only section in the newspaper. And so, you know, you're going to get a lot of opinions. For the most part, what I hear is passion, and certainly hear frustration. But and I'm with our fans on that. Now, you said I was a fan for a long time, and I am a fan, so I still have that emotion and that passion for this team and this community. But also, I can't just be a fan. I've got to engage both sides of my brain and think about the business and the organization and what we need to do to make sure that we're better going forward. I would just tell you, and this isn't just me. This is all of us, right? When you're having a year like this, the status quo is just not, that's not going to be good enough, right? It's we got to look hard in the mirror and think about how we get better. And and that's just not me. JJ and Dayton, we're talking about that every day. You know, how do we right the ship in a way? There's a lot of things I feel good about. I would tell you that. I look at the bright spots every night. I try to find a silver lining. But I think when you talk about fans, one thing I get a lot of feedback. I hear the frustration, but I also hear a lot of positive comments of support. Somebody walked up to me the other night, a big slick, and said, "John, keep doing what you're doing. Rome was not built in a day. We're here." And I am encouraged by when I see the crowds that show up here on Friday night, on Sunday, last night. I'm really encouraged and grateful for our fans' engagement with us. You know, we're still rated number five in baseball and local television ratings. Our merchandise sales are setting a record this year. And that just happens to be I say that not for the revenue component of it. That is a sign of fan engagement. So despite the frustration, despite not being where we want to be, I appreciate our fans hanging in there with us.
Talk about shining a light on the processes. Reconfigured the front office last year. Has that bore the type of fruit that you were hoping? Are you happy with the processes a year in?
With Dayton and JJ's role? You know, I think so. I think that's a work in progress. I think, you know, I think JJ is a very talented guy. He came up through the player development side. I mean, they're both kind of have that traditional baseball background, but I think that JJ was a real architect of some of the modernization of our baseball processes and systems. And I think, I'm happy with it. I think anytime you make those type of changes, there's adjustments to be made on, not just on JJ's part, on Dayton's part, but all of those that interact with them. So we got to keep that moving in the right direction, but generally I'm happy with that structure. You know, one thing that we had that structure in Cleveland, if you look around the league, and it's not just, that's just not something to give a guy a higher title, you know, to keep him here. I mean, I think some people think that's title inflation and we're just trying to keep people here. I think it was a good move to keep JJ here because he was a guy that was coveted by other organizations, but it really speaks to the complexity of the business, and it's just dividing those roles and making sure we're dividing and conquering and making sure that we're the roles and responsibilities are defined can make us more effective. I would say I'm happy with it. We need to keep working on it, keep getting better at it.
Confident that brain trust can do what they did a handful of seasons ago and bring another winner to Kansas City.
You know, I'm confident that they are waking up every day trying to think about how to achieve that goal, how to build a championship team, how to get back in contention. I think about getting in the, you know, I think we talk a lot about a championship team, what it looks like, this guy. I want us to get back in the hunt. I want us to get back in the dance. You know, there's a first step to building a championship team, and it's competing. You know, for example, this year, I think, I don't know what FanGraphs or the third party said about what our team should have been this year, how we should have. I kind of thought of us as a team that had a chance to, you know, maybe hover around 500, you know, and you know, if we were playing 500 ball right now, we'd be 5 or 6 games out of first in our division. So think about the opportunity here of incremental improvement. So I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, is that first step. I've got confidence that we can get back to the promised land, but we got to take that first step and really be, you know, have meaningful games in August and September that keep our fans engaged all summer, and then we get back to the dance. That's kind of the first step I'm looking for.
74 wins last year. Do you view this as a step back? Because you think about when you took over as chairman and CEO, you know, a pandemic hits, and yet we saw incremental improvement over the course of 2020 into 2021. Right. Is this a step back? Record-wise, would say yes, but organizationally, how do you feel?
Well, I, from a results on the field perspective, you'd have to say yes. It's disappointing. I think we have bright spots. You know, we've done an evaluation of our talent both throughout the system in terms of their value. I think about the, and I think we improved ourselves with the Carlos Santana move the other day. I mean, I think you never know what two prospects are doing, but I think, you know, getting Mills and Fleming, those are two guys with some upside that could help the team. I think that's what we need to do, make sure that we continue to put talent in the pipeline, because that will raise our odds of getting. But no, I think it's disappointing. It's hard to, whether you say it's that we regressed. I think if you look at the record, at least to date, you'd have to say that that's the case. But again, lots of reasons for that, but whatever they are, they're not acceptable. Status quo's not acceptable.
How would you describe your competitiveness, you know, the drive home from the ballpark? Are you able to leave it here? Do you need to fall asleep before the losses leave the body? I've always thought the reason to own a professional organization, and of course I would know, but I would always think it's, you know, civic pride.
Absolutely.
And of course, you're a competitor. You know, I want to stand there with that trophy. How would you describe your competitiveness?
Well, I would tell you civic pride. These are great platforms for doing good in a community. I think that's a big part of, but I think people that own these things, I can speak, you want to compete. It is fun to compete. I'm not going out on the field anymore, but you feel like you're part of something special. I would tell you that even though logically you're supposed to keep this in perspective, there's 162 games, every single loss hurts. And I think about last night. I mean, again, I try to find the silver lining and everything, but I want to send, when we get 20, what do we have yesterday? 20, almost 20, we get 20,000 people on a Tuesday. I want to send them home with a win. Okay, we can't control that just because that's the icing on the cake. I know different people have, it was a nice night for families and all that, but I think winning is important. So I would tell you that every loss hurts and every win feels pretty good. The other thing I would tell you about baseball, it's great, is when you lose, you get to come back tomorrow to redeem yourself. And when you win, you can't wait to get back to the ballpark tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I always talk about our ownership group being, and they are, 100% civically engaged. They did this for the right reason. Community is a big part of it, but to a person. They all want to win, and we want to do it for our fans of this, for the great fans of this community.
You mentioned the 20,000 on a Tuesday night. You get 25, 26 back on Friday.
I think we had a big crowd Sunday, too. Yeah. I mean, for a Sunday afternoon game.
Yeah. And you take a look around the landscape right now in this country, you know, everything's at least a dollar more than it normally is, and yet people are still making their way out. You know how much this city appreciates and supports a winner. I've kind of touched on this, and so have you, but how eager are you to deliver that winner to this city?
I'm very eager. I can't... the sense of urgency is palpable. By the same token, you got to do this at the right pace. You got to make sure the foundation's strong to move forward. But I am impatient about. I'm patient about making sure we do the right things to get there. I am impatient though about delivering for the great fans of this community.
Yeah. Often, as you know, doing the post-game show. Fans want answers and reaction after every single game. You said earlier that, you know, the status quo isn't going to hold up. You know, you got to change something if the product isn't at the level or producing where you want it to. So that would make this off season, right? That would make this off season a big off season if you don't want status quo. Long way of asking. In-season changes, to me, have never been a reflection of a well-run organization or a strong business. Where do you come out on changing the status quo in-season when we still have 88 games to go?
Well, I think we have some really important things coming up. And when I think about the draft and the trade deadline, and I think both of those are opportunities to improve this organization. So those are things we'll do in season. You know, I think I would, you know, I really, I'm looking to, for, we're spending a lot of time, I'm supportive, but I'm also pushing for the right changes. And I think Dayton and JJ are guys with great baseball histories and great, and I expect them to be the architects of change and getting us on the right track here.
Without fawning too much over your tenure as CEO and chairman, to deal with what you dealt with and the rest of your group has dealt with since the pandemic, and you know, the lack of furloughs and paying minor leaguers and spending money on Salvi and Santana and Minor and Greinke and everyone else, if you could go back and talk to yourself right before you make the purchase of the organization, what wisdom, what advice do you impart on a younger John Sherman?
That's an interesting, you know, if I would have known that there was a global pandemic around the corner, it certainly wouldn't have changed any of my behavior. You know, these businesses become available about once every generation and a half, right? So if you love this game and you've been fortunate enough to have the wherewithal to put together a group to do this, you kind of need to make those moves when they're available. And it's a pretty rare you know, having the opportunity to be in Cleveland for 4 years before I did this was also a blessing. But it's really my business career, though, I would say, prepared me for what happened right after we acquired this team. You know, I mean, and I would say this about the group. These are veteran, a lot of them are veteran business people and leaders. They've all been through various crises, right? And business crises, leadership crises. And so, you know, the main thing that you, I don't think you know till you get there, but I think that we were equipped to, you know, always think about these things. You want to be, you don't want to overreact, but you don't want to underreact. You want to be decisive but thoughtful, and the main thing is not to panic. And so I think I was fortunate that, you know, I was prepared for that, even though it was a new business for me, and listening to the people in the organization. I mean, that was one thing about the first year. You know, it's always when you acquire one of these things, it's you spend some time, right? You don't make changes immediately. You spend some time getting to know the people. And then I think that was actually set back by the pandemic, because really it was how do we make sure we kind of make this thing stable and secure. On the other hand, baseball wasn't going anywhere, right? This was just about, despite, you know, the world, you know, the sky was falling for sure, right? But baseball wasn't going anywhere. In fact, if anything, I think the pandemic actually helped us appreciate the value of sports even more. I mean, it was a little bizarre out here in 2020 with us and the paper cutouts, right? But the guys were competing, and you think about how hungry people were for live sports at that time. I mean, we were watching the cornhole championships or Korean baseball.
I know I was, yeah.
Yeah, at three in the morning. So, so anyway, the way you pose that question, that's an interesting one thing, though. I know if you love this game and you get the opportunity, and you're lucky enough to get the opportunity to do something like this, particularly in the community you live in, it's really an unbelievable opportunity. It's also why I want to execute it right. I want to execute it right for our ownership group, for our fans, and for the region and community.
Talk about your love for baseball. I wasn't planning on asking this, but I don't think I've heard you point to market size. I don't want to, you know, whining certainly not the right word,
right.
But pointing out facts of, you know, it's different in Kansas City than it is L.A., New York.
Right.
What would you say to the health of the sport? Just signed a new CBA, which we're all very happy with. But what would you say about the health of this sport in 2022?
Well, I think you won't ever hear me complain about being a small market, and given the system that we have, I kind of see it as a blessing, because I think if you can pull this off in a small market, it is a special achievement, right? And so from that perspective, I relish that opportunity, relish that challenge. That said, I do think, you know, we have some there are some flaws in our system, you know, relative to competitive balance. We did get through a CBA. I think it was a win-win for the group. I think long-term, though, there's some things that we need to work on, both from a labor perspective, but then also just business strategy. I think about long-term media strategy, not just locally, but nationally. I think there's some big opportunities for us on the media, in the media landscape, if we can kind of think about this differently in the way that younger fans consume this game. You know, I think I've said this before, but now I like the fact we have this app out, the Bally's app, but you know, people recently, somebody asked me at a funeral, why can't I get the games, you know? And so that's probably the number one thing. So this app is one step, but I think long term, I think we will totally change the way that we deliver this content, and I think it'll provide a lot of opportunity. I also think it will ultimately be something that helps competitive balance in terms of the way we share that revenue and things like that. Well, that all remains to be seen, but I would just tell you that all of us at Major League Baseball, the owners, the commissioner's office, we are committed to try and find ways to make this a better product for our fans, for the league, for the players.
condolences on the funeral you attended.
Well, it was. I just thought that was a great.
But you can't even. Can't go anywhere without hearing about the TV.
This was at a funeral, wow. and it was. You know, it's interesting when older people say that to me. They say I had YouTube TV because my kids made me get it, changed from Spectrum, and then I lost the games. But you know, I'm going out on the screen porch now. And I'm listening to it on the radio like I did when we were kids. And they enjoy that. But that's not, you know, that's not the 28 to 35 year old, right, that we want to get more engaged in that game. That's people more older than me even.
Yeah. I love them listening to the radio and the post game show.
No, I do too. No, don't get me wrong.
No, I understand. any message to me or the post game show listeners by chance?
Well, I'm one of them. It's my ride home every night. So
that's what I was aiming for. That's what I was hoping you would say. Mr. Sherman, I greatly appreciate a lot of time this morning. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Vern.
A lot of good work there, but Vern's best work was at the end.
I'll be honest, at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just trying to get you to say that. All right, thanks for
done. Listen to the postgame show. There you go. Hey, John listens to us in the morning, so he listens to us going into work and listens to Vern coming at home. What more could you want, right?
I can't discourage people from grabbing a pitcher of Country Time lemonade.
And some Pepperidge Farm crackers.
Heading out to the back porch.
That's right.
And listening to the game.
Listen to the game.
Right here on 610 Sports Radio, yes.
Those are the romantic days of baseball. And we didn't grow up in the 50s where, you know, you would hear those stories of, like, the playoffs would be going on and kids would be running from storefront to storefront hearing the game down the street. But we do remember 14 and 15, especially that Astros game 4, where we were all lined up picking our kids up from school that day and every single car had the radio on listening to the Royals game and listening to that great comeback. One of the greatest sporting events this town's ever seen was that game 4 down in Houston, and everybody was listening to it on the radio that day. So the power of radio is still there, and John Sherman appreciates it, as does Vern.
Royals insider Josh Verner with Royals chairman and CEO John Sherman. So about that stadium.
Thanks, John.
We'll get to it next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
You got me watching tennis here, Josh, this morning at Roland Garros. We're watching the big event
go on.
You
should be doing
this music.
Some burpees right now.
No, I'll never do a burpee. Burpees suck. You like doing
just
burpees?
Just move the arms up and down like I'm doing whatever this is.
But this music fits right now, watching the Roland Garros event. And now it switched over to the women, but earlier they had the men playing, and one of the Thompson twins is playing. I didn't know they were still doing tennis.
Not just doubles either.
One of the Thompson twins was playing single. Yeah, I saw that up there from Australia.
Which Thompson?
Phil
Thompson.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Phil and Chet Thompson?
That's
the
right.
Thompson twins?
The Thompson twins, yeah.
Yeah. Your favorite sports hype songs today, 913-586-7610. We'll get you hyped.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you going and work out or play a sport or whatever.
This used to rock Kemper Arena.
With the Comets. Light show for the Comets. Somebody tweeted that in earlier, texted that in earlier. Yeah.
Yes. Enzo DePayday, Gino Schiraldi, Alan Mayer.
Back in the day when they kicked the ball in the stands after the goal?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. In that day.
You got to keep the ball.
You got to keep the ball.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I like that. Where is Gino Schiraldi these days? I used to hear from Gino. I don't hear from Gino Schiraldi much anymore.
Used to have a great pizza place.
And you mentioned Enzo DePayday, the inventor of one of the great candy bars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very good. Is Milos playing in this U.S. Open?
Yes, Milos is there for sure. For sure. John Sherman, you just heard his conversation with Vern. There was discussion of the stadium and 2026. Obviously, the World Cup coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be probably beneficial if that was like a
get-out date.
Parking lot. You know, by that point, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But he did discuss the feasibility studies that are underway, which do include renovations at Kauffman Stadium. So Vern pinned him down. Is he 2026? Is that new stadium somewhere else? What's up?
It's a process, and we got very, very good people working on it. One thing that we're doing right now, which similar to what the Chiefs are doing, we're actually in the process of a sports architectural firm and an engineering firm are doing the same thing here that the Chiefs are doing across the parking lot relative to what would it cost to renovate the Kauffman Stadium, extend its life, and really modernize it for the current fan experience and the player development, clubhouses, and things like that. So that's kind of the first, that'll be a first data point that I think will be really important to us, know it's important to the Chiefs, and at some point we'll want to share the details of that with the public. And I think when we do that, that's going to be the first step in really showing the community, you know, kind of where we are and the seriousness of this. And
so 2026 is a possibility. You guys are still here.
Pause that for a second.
Improving Kauffman Stadium, that's a possibility?
You know, it's a possibility. I would tell you that I think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all options have to be on the table. My sense is that, you know, renovating this stadium and really modernizing and extending its life is going to be very expensive versus the alternative.
And I think the data will tell you that.
That's why they're doing it. Like, I'm like, why are we wasting money on doing this? No, you know why they're wasting money
they're
on doing that?
They're show you the
to
bill.
Show you that it's going to cost basically the same amount to renovate as it will to build a new stadium. And the renovated Kauffman Stadium would never provide them the same amount of opportunity to go out there and make more money around the surrounding area, because for 50 years, nobody's made a dime at the sports complex in the surrounding area other than that dude who's making your sub over there at Subway. The new stadium is coming, and just accept it right now. It's not something that you can fight, and it's not something that you should fight, because it's a waste of your time.
Now, he did. For those of you that are fighting for Kauffman Stadium,
right?
He did leave an avenue open,
not really,
more than it probably should have.
But that's more of a, we're going to show you what it costs.
But
and
it
then
felt
you're
like
see
to me,
why.
Here are the receipts.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to show you, all this that needs to be done. And Chiefs are doing that same thing. Like, they do have a renovation plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the price tag is going to be. You're probably not going to like the price tag.
Right.
Like when they put forth all the things they need to do to bring the stadium up to current stadium standards, that bill's probably going to suck too.
Well, I mean,
they're going to be like, or we take whatever the Kauffman part of land or somewhere else and do everything we need to have. Price
right,
as well.
Right. You know? And I think that's, you know, where it's going to go. Renovating Kauffman Stadium would be stupid, in my opinion. You've already renovated it once, and it's not Fenway and it's not Wrigley. I mean, they tore down Yankee Stadium and built the new Yankee Stadium, for gosh sakes. So Kauffman Stadium has seen its days. It's seen wonderful days, but those days are over, and it's time to move this ballpark downtown.
And you could say Wrigley. The glamour of Wrigley is everything
around
Wrigley.
Wrigley. That's what we always talk about,
right?
All the great stuff
Wrigley's
around
a
Wrigley.
Dump.
Yeah, Wrigley.
I love Wrigley.
It is.
Been there,
yeah.
Is, you know, second most stadium behind Kauffman. I've been there the most times aside from Kauffman. It's a dump.
It is. It really is.
It's an old, crappy stadium.
Yep.
But it's smack dab in the middle of an awesome neighborhood.
That's exactly right.
That's got tons of stuff going on around it, and they've continued to develop all that, that's the hook.
Right? That's exactly the hook. Yes, Wrigleyville, Murphy's Bleachers, the Cubby Bear, all the places that are around Wrigley is what everybody likes
to do.
The stadium
ain't great.
You're not going there for the stadium, per se. You're going to get drunk before, watch a couple innings, go get drunk after. I mean, that's what Kauffman Stadium is going
to
be.
And that one never is in the same category to me as like, oh, look at them. They're historic. No, there's other stuff.
Yeah.
The Royals haven't had other stuff.
Right.
I think that it would benefit them to get around the other stuff and do that. I don't know how much of a selling point that is for people that are on the fence.
Right.
Like, I don't know that you can say, well, yeah, I want them to generate more money. I want there to be more to do around the ballpark and those kind of things. It's a tough sell. I understand it.
Mm-hmm. Then you know what? If it's something you don't like, you don't have to enjoy it or go to it. And that's where I am with this. The new stadium is coming. And the folks who say that no one will go because the team is losing.
I don't believe that at all.
I'm not buying that at all.
You're going now.
You're going now. You heard what John Sherman said. Even without TV, they're still a top five TV market, right? Nobody has the games on TV, allegedly, yet we're still top five in television ratings all of Major League Baseball. Record merchandise sales this year. Now, a new jersey was released. Everybody's buying that, so you're capitalizing on that. But the team is also 20-some games under .500. You don't have to buy any merchandise.
A new player, a
a hot new player.
Hot new player and a hot new jersey.
And a hot new jersey. Boom. Yeah, it all adds up. That's a good point as well. And you look, John Sherman even said there's still some 20-some thousand fans going out there on a Tuesday night and a Sunday night. If that many people are going out to watch a team 20 games under 500, how many people do you think are going to go watch a team in a new stadium? A lot more than that
because
the stadium's new. And so all of these things add up and show you why a new stadium is perfect right now for the Royals. And it is, again, about generating that revenue. He talked there about the end about, you know, generating more revenue both locally and nationally for Major League Baseball. If the Royals own everything around the stadium, which I think is the early plan to own the bars and the restaurants and have a say in a lot of that stuff and have income coming in from that stuff, that's more money that they can put then back into the team. And as many revenue streams as you can potentially have for your ball club right now, especially in a market like Kansas City, is necessary. If you want the Royals and truly want the Royals to have an opportunity to compete every single year and not go through these seasons like we're living through right now, you want them to generate as much money as possible so they can use that to make their team as competitive as possible. And you have to get creative in a market like Kansas City. We hear it all the time from Dayton Moore, how he has to get creative and JJ has to get creative when they're creating this roster because of some of the monetary restrictions that they have. But all of a sudden, if you have more money coming in, it makes those restrictions a little bit less and you can spend more money. Maybe in 5 years when the new ballpark is getting ready to open, you've got enough money. You can keep Bobby Witt Jr. in Kansas City. And we're not talking about only five more years of Bobby Witt Jr. or MJ Melendez or Vinny Pasquantino or Brady Singer or any of these guys that we're watching right now in their young points of their career. You've got to have those ways to generate more revenue. Renovating Kauffman Stadium, quite frankly, does not generate you more revenue. It just continues the same revenue stream that you have, because there's a lot of things that you still need to do to Kauffman Stadium that aren't revenue generators, like widening the concourses way too tiny. That's not generating more revenue. How many more bars and areas like that can you add to Kauffman Stadium to hopefully generate more revenue? Probably not many. And how many days a year does Kauffman Stadium make money? 81. How many days per year will the new downtown ballpark make money? 365, because of all the things that are going to be around to it that are going to be controlled and operated by the Kansas City Royals Baseball Corporation. That's how you make more money. That's how you generate more revenue. That's how you get more money for payroll, doing it differently than just relying on a TV contract. You can't do that anymore. And I applaud the Royals for going out there and saying, we have to do this if we want to be a competitive baseball team, because everybody else is doing it now too. Kauffman Stadium and the sports complex in general has reached its limit, has fulfilled its need, and now it's time to move on. Everybody in sports has outgrown what the sports complex has to offer.
Our football question of the day brings us to our AFC West pecking order next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.